life of the person praying for the miracle?
100% right.
Okay. So have you been in situations, or are there, can you answer the question of what to do in that situation? How do you seek that?
Oh, yeah. I sure can. 100%. We got time?
Yeah. Go to Matthew 17. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And I actually heard Dan preach this, and it's grown in me to such a place where I live by this, man. God, thank you. Okay. In Matthew 17, Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's up there with Peter, James, and John. He's up there, and he had left his disciples to be the authority to go ahead and do what he said to do. He left them, and they're down in town, and they're the authority of God. Jesus gave them authority. And they had been seeing all kinds of stuff. Back in Matthew 10, they said, go preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Jesus gave them authority. So now they go down into town, and they're doing the stuff, man. And they came, says in verse 14, when they came to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So, since he does this, watch, the man's like saying, I've known the disciples are going around, they're doing this stuff, people are getting healed, so I figured I'd bring them to the ambassadors, I'd bring them to your representatives, Jesus. So I brought them to your disciples, the representative of God, but they could not cure him. I brought them to him and nothing happened. Jesus answered, and he said, O faithless and perverse generation, meaning you have little faith, unbelieving, corrupt thinking generation, corrupt minds. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. So who was the ambassador? Who was the ambassadors when Jesus was up on the mount? Disciples. So would Jesus be correcting the man? The man didn't have the authority nor the ability to do what Jesus called the disciples to do. So Jesus is correcting the disciples.
Yes.
Okay. The man is standing there. Because in another version of the Gospels, it says he said to him, because his disciples are there and so is the man. So they're all in the midst. But to correct the man would be wrong because he wasn't given the authority. He had no ability to do it. He brought them to the best representatives that he knew, the guys that were doing the stuff. Right? Okay. So he brought them to the disciples. They couldn't hear him. And Jesus corrects his disciples. He says, oh, faithless, you have little faith. You guys, you twisted thinking people. Come on. How long am I going to be with you? I'm going to the cross soon. You got to get this. How long shall I bear with you? Come on. Look, he's a teacher. He's teaching. He's sharing. He's showing them. Now bring the boy to me. If there was ever a case where it wasn't God's will to heal somebody, it would have been right there. It's the only case in the Gospels where it didn't happen. The only one. So now the disciples are like, because Jesus prays for this kid. Bang, it happens. Guaranteed, when you pray for an epileptic and they're not healed, how do you know they're not healed? Because they're seizing. What does your mind do in a situation like that? What are we doing wrong? What are we doing? Maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we need to do something. Man, if Jesus was here, this thing would be happening. What are we doing wrong? Guys, come on. I mean, what are we doing wrong? Come out of them! So our minds get scrambled. The disciples' minds are getting scrambled. So Jesus, as a teacher, comes down and corrects them. You perverse thinking, corrupt-minded, twisted thinking generation. How long am I going to be with you? Guys, I'm going to the cross. You've got to get it. You're my representatives. Bring them to me. Bang. Done. Was it God's will to heal the boy?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did it happen through the disciples? No. Why not?
Unbelievable.
So clear. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we do it?
Because understand, they didn't see it ever happen before. Because it happened every time. Bang, 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 bang. They rejoiced, came back. And Jesus said, well, hold on. Rejoice that your name's written in the book, not that demons are subject to you. Right? They came back with joy. Man, it happened just like you said it was gonna. Woo! They come upon this one and it didn't. So they're scrambling. They're trying to figure out what they did wrong. They're trying to look internally and actually think, what's wrong in here? Something's wrong. What do? We try to examine ourselves, introspective. We're not supposed to do that. That's a really bad place to be. We're supposed to let the Holy Ghost do that stuff. We're not supposed to actually get people to try to look into us. And yeah, that's a whole nother...
Yeah, go there. Yeah, go there.
I can't. Not right now. Because we won't ever get out of here. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out. The disciples said, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus corrects them. And he gives them the answer. If you ask, when you see in Scripture, right, asking Jesus a question, it's symbolic of prayer. When the disciples talk to Jesus, it's symbolic of prayer. It's praying and getting an answer. So they ask a specific question. The specific question is, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus gives them a specific answer. And the answer was a specific answer to a specific question because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. So here's the answer. If you speak to the mountain and the mountain doesn't move, what's lacking? Faith. If you speak to the mountain and the mountain moves, what's present? Faith. The absence of faith is unbelief. The presence of faith is the absence of unbelief. If your unbelief trumps your faith, you're in trouble. If you have reasons why people won't get healed, they're not gonna. Because it's already trumped faith. Reason and faith are enemies. Logic is an enemy of faith. Reason, philosophy, is an enemy of faith. They war against each other. There's no reason that I destroyed people's lives for 22 years and hurt everyone, was kicked out of the Marine Corps, extradited back from Colorado, thrown in the brig, given a bad conduct discharge, have a felony rap sheet, destroyed the lives of many people. There's no logical explanation why God would have me up here in front of you sharing the same gospel. That's not logical. It's supernatural. Amen. See, this gospel is not philosophy. This gospel is not psychology. This gospel is not intellectualism. Amen. That's mind stuff. The only place your mind has is to be subservient to your spirit. That's the only place for your mind to be. So Jesus corrects him and he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. That's an unlimited, unhinged promise. Amen. Absolutely nothing will be impossible for you.
Nothing.
Nothing means nothing. Amen. That's amazing. So he's saying a faith is a mustard seed. The problem is, if you have faith as a mustard seed and unbelief as an orange, do you understand that? This is huge. You have a question?
Yes, I do. I know several people that did, you know, pass away, and the last one that I know that, and he taught me this kind of faith, and he,
right on,
this man was a powerful man of God. He right. Really had faith.
Yep.
And it was last year he passed away.
Right.
He, you know, I mean, he believed God till the end. He
was right.
54 years old.
So yep.
I mean, he was still fairly young.
Right.
And the way the Lord has shown me that he finally, you know, he received the ultimate healing.
Right.
You know, when he died.
Right.
But, everybody that he was surrounded with.
Sure.
Was faith people.
Right.
So do you believe this way? Do you think that that if somebody is not healed, that they do get the ultimate healing?
Well, of course, when we get to heaven, you do. But how old was he?
before.
Okay, well, let me ask you this one question. And this is how we have to look. This is how I look at it. This is how we have to. If Jesus walked into that room and prayed for him, what would happen? What would have happened? I'm asking you an honest question. If Jesus walked into that room when he was dying in his deathbed, what would happen?
I don't know. But if it depends if he wants to take him home.
Whoa. Right. Hold on a second.
What she's asking is it possible that God chose to take him home and give him the ultimate healing?
That's right. That's what I'm trying to
ask. Go ahead. Answer it.
I don't think you realize that's the question.
No, I understand. I'm trying. Okay.
Because I believe in.
Okay. How did he die?
Pardon me?
What did he have? What happened?
He had cancer.
Okay.
And all right.
Well, let me ask you this.
Big tumor.
Let me ask you this. Is cancer from God?
No, but we do live in, we are still in the world, so. There are still diseases. And
right on. Go to Acts 10:38.
I'm
not disagreeing with you. I agree. I agree with you, and I believe that people believed, and I'm not disputing that at all.
I just wonder.
I want to answer. No, I love you. I'm here to try to shed light on anything I can.
Not the only one. There was another man.
Oh, I'm sure. I've had him too. I watched a 9-year-old boy with a brain tumor die, and I watched that boy have a brain tumor pushing his eye out of his head. And I watched him die. And we prayed. I've watched other people die. And we've prayed.
But did you blame yourself?
No way. See, if I blame myself, then I'm now condemned. If I blame myself, now I'm being partnered with the devil, because the devil's to be blamed. Now hold on. Just hold on. Wait one second. Go to Acts 10. Okay.
I prayed to him. I prayed for him.
Right.
I believe.
Right.
I really believe this.
Right.
He could have been healed. And what came out of it is his son that he had been praying for years took over the church.
Right.
The church is growing. His son became the pastor. So, and he was healed of heart disease. He didn't suffer.
You can go to Acts 10:38, but let me jump in.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you're saying, honey, is sorry, I hope you didn't mind calling me on. I love people. Here's the deal. God doesn't make administrative decisions and use what he paid the price through Jesus to destroy as a tool. He doesn't make an administrative decision to take a man through cancer when Jesus took the sin and the effects of sin on his body. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Man has a right to a time frame of life. If he calls on the Lord and he loves the Lord with all his heart, the Lord will deliver him, satisfy him, show him his salvation, and long life he'll satisfy him with. So these things come to steal and destroy. They create a paradox, because with all our heart we're purposing to believe. We're growing in a revelation. This lady back here said, well, then did you blame yourself because you didn't have faith? That's not what we're saying. That's a raw kind of way to see it when somebody dies, to take it personal. That just brings personal hurt, and you're taking it personal now because you have a loved one and you're saying, what are you saying? I didn't have faith? We're not saying that. We're saying we're all growing in a revelation.
Right on.
We're all growing in the knowledge of him. When you have a man that's preaching faith in a whole circle of people that are preaching faith, and all of a sudden that man has a tumor, that right there causes an uproar right here.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he has the tumor is like, what? And we know everything right to pray. We have every scripture. We've been preaching it for 20 years, and we go bang, bang, bang. We preach all the right stuff. Does that mean we have a revelation of God's love for him and the finished work of the cross that makes him free and causes that cancer to go? That doesn't mean that. We can, just praying and speaking to the mountain doesn't connote faith. The mountain moving. Listen, we've got to honor the word, guys, and put away personal feelings. We've lost loved ones. I was with that 9-year-old boy. I watched that thing. If I say, oh my God, I didn't have enough faith. I'm a miserable Christian. If I would have faith, he'd still be alive. Kicking myself. That's the devil.
Yeah.
What you do is you go to your bedroom and you weep. And you say, God, there is a place for me to represent you in such a way that Sam's alive. There's a place for me to see you and touch him where I get the result that Jesus did. Because if I say I abide in him, I ought to walk as he walked.
Yeah.
He said, follow me. If I couldn't follow him, he wouldn't say that. As you send him, he's sending me. God, open my heart. Open my understanding. Cause me to live by the Spirit more than ever before, because the Sams of the world have got to live by your Spirit. That's how you respond. If you take life personal and you take inward hurt at physical loss when all of life and everything is a gift and a grace from God, and you take it personal, you're already way deceived. If you take hurt into your heart because your mother died and you prayed and prayed and prayed and she died and you get off towards God, I'm just talking plain. You can stone me if you want. I love you. You're way deceived. Jesus sent His Son to die for our guilty lives. He was innocent to say, I love you. I know the truth about you. Stick with me, grow in me, and I'll raise you up to what you're called to be. Along the way, we get these slaps in the face, turn inward, and turn on the very God that's trying to deliver our souls. Amen. There's several scriptures that talk about the salvation of your soul, not your spirit, right. Your soul.
Amen.
Right.
Our minds are being saved. We love the Lord. We know we need the blood. We're a principle people and we're a method people and don't understand it. We've taught faith in a way that we know the exact thing to pray. Yeah. And it hurts and frustrates and confuses a lot of us because we say all the right stuff and it's almost impersonal. It's like, okay, we said our part, God do your part. That is not it. We're ministers of love, ministers of grace, ministers of the power of God. We're learning you don't even have to pray a whole lot. You've got to see a whole lot. In Matthew 16 or 17, when he said it's because you don't have faith or you have unbelief, it's because of your unbelief. If we talk that way to each other, it causes offense. Because we say, don't tell me we didn't believe. Like I listened to you, ma'am, saying, look, we all believe. I believe these. But the Bible says that when we believe, the mountain moves. When we believe, the mountain moves. Now watch this. He magnified His word above His own name. And yet we magnify what we say, think, and feel above His word.
Exactly.
That's trouble. There's a form of deceived pride in that. It's not evil. It's not willful. It's deception. For me to magnify my experience above His word, when He magnified His word above His name, I bet I'm missing something. And if I take personal loss and physical loss and a loved one, a spouse, a child, and the loss of that as painful and real as it is, if I take it in personal and work that as a case against the gospel, I'm already pummeled.
Amen. Amen.
I'm already pummeled. This gospel is not a method, guys. It's not a 1, 2, 3 and you get. I prayed over my wife. She had burns on her hand from grease and I prayed. I sounded like I came from prayer college if there was such a thing. I just shot. And she did the faith thing. Okay, honey, you prayed. I believe. I'll be okay. And I'm like, something is wrong here. Who's ever been in that realm? You pray your best prayer.
Amen.
It's not about your best prayer.
Yeah.
It's about Jesus.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, in my heart, I said, something's wrong with this picture. Please father me. Please help me. Because I just prayed everything I know and understand and say I believe. And there's not, he said, Dan, you're so zealous to preach and pray my word, you forget why. And I'm like, you can't even pray this way. And I'm like, and all of a sudden it hit me, he loves her. Oh my God, he loves my wife. It's not how zealous I pray. It's not what I quote. It's not how fluent I pray it. It's not how much I say it.
Yeah, right.
He loves my wife.
Yeah,
right. I said, oh my God, you. My wife didn't know I was having this conversation. She's standing there burning. She's got blisters. Grease goes in. She's crying. I still didn't get ice. I'm talking to Jesus. She's at the sink trying to be a faith woman. Okay? I'm being real. I said, God, this is amazing. You love us. You just absolutely love us. God, thank you for loving us. I wasn't striving, praying, because it's not my work, your work. It's the finished work of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. You're in my place is representing the faith in the finished work of Christ. We put so much emphasis in what we do. And say, we've become so technical.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with that. Jesus is, he rarely prayed. So go ahead and see, stretch forth your hand. That kind of stuff. We put a lot of our faith in what we're saying, and what we're saying is what we're believing.
Yeah,
I've heard people say, we put faith in our own faith instead of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then that gives us the audacity to turn around and accuse God and subpoena Him in our mind as if He failed.
Right.
And we all know better. But yet we're hurting because we lost somebody. Well, I've been in this thing. I've lost folks. 13.5 years in this thing, and I jump right in the fight. I've lost folks, but I've seen them live, and I'm going to keep on pressing, and I'm going to see the glory of God. You get it? Because I'm dead to myself. I don't have a right to subpoena God in my mind. That's deception. Okay? So all these things that we're talking about are very real and powerful. God says He loves us. That's why we pray. So I pray, and all the pain just left my wife. Boom, she was instantly healed. And the story was neater because He said He's finished work, and we watched the burns disappear off her hand. So that's pretty exciting. Now watch this. 5 minutes before that revelation, I prayed my best prayers. And she's in as much pain as you would expect. But when I got the revelation, I didn't even pray. I just said, thank you. And she's healed. Now I'm ready to thank Him for that. And He says, whoa, 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 wait. We're on a roll here. Jesus is a finished work. Go for the finished work. I said, oh my God, it's Your good pleasure to give us again. You just restore her hand. It's Your desire to give her new skin. My wife starts screaming. I think she's back in the grease again. I turn. She's holding her hand, shaking hysterically. Yes. As we watched, as a family, those burns disappear.
Yes.
5 minutes before that. See, nobody's going to talk me out of this because humility has grabbed my heart because I've walked this thing. I would have told you with passion, I believed. I prayed every scripture I was ever taught. I believed God. If I wouldn't have had that 5 minute afterward revelation and experience, I would have thought, but I believed. She was just as bad. I slowed down in my heart. I searched a little like, God, there's something, man. That zeal without knowledge, sometimes we're so pumped up in the Word, we just want to, yah, yah, yah. You foul cancer, you come out in Jesus' name. You have no right. You can't remain. They're redeemed and bought with the blood, and they're the head and not the tail in covenant, and you're a trespasser. You come out in the authority of Jesus' name. You loose them now. I bind you and break your power. Go! And it's like, okay. It happens to us all the time. Because we've preached the gospel in a way where it's become a method by which to receive and not a love relationship with the God, Creator, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a love relationship. I got up here, I saw where things were trying to go. It wasn't that you weren't handling it.
No, dude.
It's just, there's passion in my heart right now because I hear what's tempted to go on with you. Something happened and it's trying to offend you, honey. You can't let it offend you. We've mourned with those that mourn. It's real. It's real. I've got a mother in a physical situation, and I still haven't seen change. And you see how I preach this gospel? Because my mother doesn't define the gospel. But the gospel will define my mother if I stay humble. And I don't accuse God here or take this personal. I've prayed for a lot of other mothers. I've seen them made whole. I could get an issue with that. I'm being real. I'm coming out like I am. I could take an issue with that. John the Baptist in prison. Nobody had a greater revelation of Jesus than him. Nobody knew more that he was the Christ than John. Because the Spirit of God spoke to him in the wilderness. And when he saw the Spirit descend like a dove and remain, he knew it was he. And he said, I must decrease, he must increase. Don't follow me, follow him. Now he's in prison, sends two disciples to ask the question of what he already knew. And you could tell he was offended because of Jesus' answer. You go back and tell John what you both see and hear. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, and the poor have the gospel preached. And blessed is the man who's not offended because of me. You can't take things personal, sweetheart. And I'm sorry about loss. I've suffered loss. You've obviously suffered loss. Don't take it personal. It's not about your faith and you didn't have faith. He's not standing there saying, if you had faith, they wouldn't be dead. What he's saying is we all have a privilege to grow in a greater revelation that releases greater glory. That's we're not under condemnation. We're not under pressure. We're privileged to grow up into him in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ.
Amen.
That scripture wouldn't be written in Ephesians 4 if we were already there through our knowledge.
Amen.
Follow me?
Amen.
Can you hear the passion in my heart?
Yeah.
It's God Almighty crying out to His kids to not be deceived and bite the bait.
Amen.
Stay humble. Love not your own lives unto death. Let's run this race because there's somewhere we're growing to and rising. Just because we speak to the mountain, let's not call it faith. Let's know when the mountain moves its faith. So let's keep speaking, praying, seeking His face, believing, and see more of God. But if you take something in here that produces a negative or a it's going to stop everything.
Amen.
Man, we just lost some people. Man, we lost a couple people in a row. I held a little child, and just a week later they died. It hit me hard. I cried with Pastor Don. I just came from a service. I saw so many healings, and yet I held this baby. You say, well, Dan, you have had to believe. You've seen all these other... You had to believe. If anybody should hold that baby, you should hold that baby. Don't tell me you didn't believe. Come on. You can go in and out. You can live out of your soul. You can be driven by need. You perverse generation, that means you corrupted-minded, twisted-thinking people. You've been subject to the fall, and the fall keeps trying to creep in and integrate into your soul. He says, because of your unbelief. Let's interpret that in a way that's so easy to receive. Here's what he's saying to you, his disciples. Why couldn't we do that to the epileptic boy? Because you don't see what I'm seeing. But if you see what I'm seeing, you'll do what I'm doing. Who knows, there's times you're driven by sentiment, fear. It's a close family member. It's somebody you love dearly, and it grabs your heart and it jerks you into empathy and emotion more than faith and love. Come on, these things are real. We've got to get a hold of this. Because the bottom line is, as this Christian's got to settle, is the Word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. God's Word is true. You get it? Wonder if some of us don't believe. Does it make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Absolutely not. We will look into His eyes of fire and love and know that He is God one day. Let's just know it now. Yeah. You get it? We have no reason to back up. Yeah. Be discouraged. There's disappointments, it seems, physical losses and mournings. Thank God for the blood of Jesus and eternal life. We're going to march on like good soldiers, endure hardship, and not take account of what seems like a suffer wrong. You follow me?
Yeah. Just
passionately crying out for our souls, because I can feel there's a lot of vibration in our lives and God wants it out of us.
Amen.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I have something I want to share, Dan. I'm going to bust if I don't, I swear.
Okay.
And I feel really crazy, but Paul said if I'm out of my mind, it's for the sake of God. So, yeah. God's really worked in my life month or two ago. I'm sorry, I've just been sitting here, I literally feel like I'm going to physically explode if I don't get this out. The Holy Spirit's over me right now, I swear.
just say it, kiddo. Go ahead.
So, I was having some serious health issues for a couple months in the beginning of the winter, and a lot of, female issues. I had a lot of, I was bleeding profusely. My blood count got down to the point where I was... If it got any lower, I was going to need blood transfusion. It was really serious, and I was getting really bad, and really, it was affecting my mind, and I was just, my thinking was erratic,
right.
And all this stuff, and it was really bad, and I kept asking, why am I being put through this? I just got saved, I'm blah, 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 I'm making all these excuses for my own selfishness, and then, I'm trying to calm myself down so I can, say this. And then God gave to me the story of the sick woman and the dead girl, the sick woman that was bleeding for 12 years. She's bleeding for 12 years. And the Lord said, you need to take something from her and apply it to yourself and you will be healed. And I studied, I randomly came across a book that had a study on this woman in it. And it was crazy. And I'm reading it. And I saw her desperation and her hunger for the Lord, and just she had this.
Yeah.
She was just so desperate,
right.
And I spent a week in just constant prayer and it was so funny because she was bleeding for 12 years, and in my 12th week of this issue, I laid hands on myself and I prayed and I was.
Watch this. That's so awesome. Watch this. Now, this is the pastor side of this. This is how I hear for the heart of the whole as a pastor. Watch this. That's her testimony and story. And the reason God did it that way is because, did you hear what she was thinking in the beginning? Look where our minds go. Rational. It's nothing against her. Watch. Why is this inward, self-focused? Why is this happening to me? I'm just saved. Why am I going through this? Why are you putting me through all these questions that can only produce negativities?
Amen.
It's inward focus. All of a sudden, now we're only, every time we pray now, we're driven from need, by need. Come on, follow me. You're driven by need. Faith works through love. Need provokes fear. There's an inward consciousness, self-centered focus. All of a sudden you're praying, provoked by the problem, and the promise is what you're trying to reach when the promise is what you live in.
Right.
You pray from the promise to the problem. Faith says to the mountain. It doesn't embrace the identity of the mountain and then go to God. That's what we do, guys, most of the time.
Amen.
Most of the time we embrace the identity of the problem, and through an unfounded mindset. So what God did to Summer was, He said, you need to look at the woman in the issue of blood. She had, the woman with the issue of blood had a lot of logical reasons to be disappointed and give up. Spent all she had, sought much help, etc. And yet she said, no, He's the Christ. He loves me. He's my answer. He's my healing. He's my deliverer. He's the one. Boom. And she pressed through the crowd, not just the people, the crowd of all the reasons she had to be disappointed. What He did to her was protected her from that platform and brought her into faith that works through love.
Amen.
That's the key for receiving from God. Let's not forget this. You can't try to have faith. You can't try to get faith. Faith comes out of knowing Him. And He didn't get to read that last scripture in Matthew 17. It says, however, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer. And that's your question in the back there. This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. She said, how do we get that revelation?
Yep, I was going to get there one day.
Jesus said, watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, but truly I tell you this, if you have faith, you say the mountain, it'll move, and nothing shall be impossible for... That's unhinged, unlimited, red letters, Jesus' message to us. I need to honor that above everything I'll ever feel, experience, or see in my life. True?
Exactly.
If He is Lord, right? So the next verse says, however, this kind of unbelief, this kind of twisted thinking, this kind of ability to revert to fear, desperation, human sentiment, emotion, to get trapped, get your eyes on the problem, won't get stripped out of your life unless you submit and surrender yourself to a place of prayer in the presence of God and fasting. And that's how you'll see. That's where the revelation comes from, continuing in Him, continuing in His Word, and not questioning and not looking back in the face of loss. Because they could have felt disqualified. They could have felt, no, Jesus cheered them on. He corrected why they didn't, and then told them, you're still qualified. Now go do it. Isn't Jesus amazing?
Yes.
You didn't get what's possible. You're still qualified. Now go. I love that. In Mark 10, He comes in, and in Mark 16, He comes in, and He's like, you guys, He upbraided them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. They're crying, fear of the Jews. He said He'd raise, and they're crying because He's dead. He said I'd come to life in 3 days, and they're still crying after 3 days. A couple different Christians come and said, I saw the Lord. They're like, whatever, we saw Him die. Jesus comes in. He wasn't nice and sweet to them. Hey, guys, I'm up from the dead. Hi. He came in and He said, He upbraided them for their, upbraided them, it said, and rebuked them for their hardness of heart and unbelief.
Amen.
What are you guys thinking? What's going on with you? You have allowed what you've seen and feel to override what I've said.
Exactly.
And my word is true. Guys, why is this hardness in your heart? Why are you in unbelief? Now listen to me. You go out and preach this gospel to every nation. He corrected them for what was wrong and released them into their destiny in that one. He didn't say, now take a 3-month sabbatical, go seek me, and then get up, and if you muster up the strength, go tell somebody about me. He corrected them and said, look, you guys are deceived. Now get out there and preach the gospel, and everybody that believes and baptized shall be saved. Now go tear it up. It says, and they went, and the Holy Spirit went with them.
Yes.
He corrected them and released them. Amen. Why couldn't we do it? Because of your mind's twisting, but I tell you this, nothing's impossible for you. However, unless you stay in God's presence, stay in prayer, continue to fast and seek Him through His Word, this kind of mindset and temptation won't be removed from your life.
Amen.
The woman with the issue of blood, the point I want to make about her is she was focused. She didn't give up. She stayed focused. She wasn't distracted by anything else. She was just focused on Jesus. She was focused on what she wanted to get. And I think the thing is, we can never give up. We have to keep believing. And what I want to say about this man I was talking about, he believed to the end. And even, I think it was like 4 days before he died, before he passed, he was in the church preaching. And there were people being healed, even though he didn't get healed. He was still doing God's work, and he didn't give up.
Well, see, that's all commendable, honorable, and everything. He needs to read that scripture, Acts 10 through 8, because it's going to put the word on your question. Because you can't ever just, watch this, If you start believing, it's what he was saying earlier, Tom, if you start believing God chooses to take people, and no matter how much we pray, that's the administrative decision of God, and you embrace that as a belief, you've just trumped faith. You'll never be able to believe again, because you always have the question, is that this situation?
Well, my point and is that this man believed that way,
I understand, but here's the deal. Are we going to honor that experience and take the integrity you have towards that man, which he obviously was an honorable man? Are you going to take that and raise it above the Word of God?
Oh, no.
But that's what's happening. That's actually what's raising it, because it's a paradox. The bottom line is there a place for people to be made whole, period? Absolutely. Is there ever an administrative decision and choice that you can show me in the gospel where God says concerning healing, no way? There's nowhere in the Bible. It says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It says the gospel is a yes and amen gospel, and anything else is of the evil one. We preach a maybe he will, maybe he won't. Let's pray and see. God, he might move. He doesn't always, but maybe he will.
I'm not going to live forever. You know what I mean? There's
where does it say that you have to die from sickness, honey? You run your course. You run your course, and you go to be with the Lord. You go to sleep and don't wake up. Where does it say that you cross a line and the things Jesus paid for now have a right to take you?
Then why would a man of God, get cancer and give it to him?
I can't answer that part. Here's what you're doing.
That's putting it on him and saying, well, maybe he did something.
No, absolutely not. We're growing in regular. Here's what I'm hearing you say. What you're saying is, you're honoring the integrity of this man and his life, and you're questioning and challenging absolute matter-of-fact scriptures and making them speak through his experience and circumstance, and you're taking the power out of them. So the rest of your life, you're going to live in a quandary and not be sure. Now you've got a question mark on your faith, okay. And you're letting his experience define what you believe. You can't do that. It's impossible to do that.
I don't even know what's happening. What I keep hearing, and I think it's one of our biggest problems, is you're demanding a rational. Well,
that's good, right? She is. And there is none. I can't answer your question.
You might not know. God knows why that happened, right? So yes. You're not good enough, and they're not going to give you an answer.
Well, we can answer.
But we can.
Well not in the sense of why would it be in his life in the first place. That could be many reasons.
Right.
That's what she said.
We have to give up the right. We can't
that's good, girl. That's
right to understand with their mind why everything.
I'm trying to understand
with this.
Right.
I just
want to
say something
to you. No, you can't say it's all in God's hands. If you just start saying it's all in God's hands, you're going to slip, so you can't do that. Watch this. If you just start saying God's in control and he'll do what he's going to do, you've already subverted faith.
That's right.
You've already subverted faith.
Because if God's in control, why do we need faith?
See, if God's in total control, why would the power of life and death be in our time? Why would we be destroyed for the lack of knowledge? He'd say for the choice of God.
So you're saying that we have more control than God?
No, God gave the earth to the children of men. We're the body of Christ. You go in my name, and in my name cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse up, raise the dead. So we're not getting into this issue and debate, honey, where it's a challenge to protect thing. Come on. Nobody's saying we have more control than God. God gave us that authority. Nobody's being presumptuous. It's not our bright idea. We didn't wake up with a light bulb idea and go, oh my gosh, I think we're going to rule the universe or something. God said, you're my people. Manifest my name. Go, preach, and in my name you will. It's God's idea. He gave the earth to the children of men. Psalms 115. Go in my name. If God was making an administrative choice to call things and he was at a desk of administration calling the shots, it wouldn't matter what you speak, what you say, what you do. God's going to do what God's going to do. And if you preach that gospel, you've made a passive church that gets destroyed.
Yes. Amen.
Big time. Then it doesn't matter what you speak, what you say, what you think, what you feel, because God's God and nobody knows his will and he's Lord and whatever he does and chooses, it's all in his hands. That's wrong, deception, and it's totally unscriptural. You can't find one scripture to back that. But you can find a whole lot of experiences that suggest that. And all of a sudden we make the experiences gospel, and they become our teacher, and the Word gets renounced. And the Word is Jesus, and the
Amen.
Word is true.
Amen.
Bottom line. Let him read Acts 10:38 because it's a real big answer. Read Acts 10:38. It's a very good scripture. I just saw her heart was hurting and I saw some things. I just jumped up here.
Yeah.
I love you guys, man, but this stuff's serious. I walk this every day of my life. I hold babies and I watch them live, and I'll hold one and watch them die. And I'll get in my bedroom and I'll say, Father, I need more of you.
I'll slip to my knees with tears running down my face. I'm representing this kingdom. That mother brought her to me for Jesus, not for me. She's looking for Jesus in me, and the Christ in me is their hope of glory. And I'm asking you to manifest yourself greater to me. Break every obstacle off of my life and allow me to hold every one of them children and they live, because if you held them, they'd all be alive. Now, why is that so hard to understand?
What do you say about the people who say that we live in a fallen world?
Are you in a fallen world? Watch this. Are you in a fallen world?
What do you say to them?
There's a place for redemption and sanctification. You're in the world. You're not of the world. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. Protect them from the evil one. Do you think God heard Jesus' prayer? Protect them from the evil one? Yeah. He said, go. I've given you authority over all the power of the devil. Tread upon serpents and scorpions. Nothing, nothing, nothing by any means shall harm you. Let's get real humble here for a minute. We're real quick to contest the word with our circumstances, but let's get real humble. He said, do not worry, do not fear. How many of you, be humble and honest, experience a reaction and an initial worry and fear in your life on a pretty regular basis? You know what that proves? We don't have a revelation of who we are because of Him. Let's be humble and get nitty gritty. Come on. Do not worry, do not fear. If it was impossible to live that way, would He ask us that? What He's saying is, guys, you don't quite know me yet, and you don't quite know who you are because of me, but if you'll stay humble and quit asking all these questions that take you away from that truth, and just get yourself before me, you'll get to know me more. But your intellect and your logic is taking you from that place.
Amen.
Come on, it's just simple.
Right. Amen.
And this thing's in me. Nobody's going to change my mind. I'm seeing too much. I'm watching people healed, changed, delivered. But there's times we don't see it. And if I'd let my mind go in that place where people's go, I wouldn't see what I'm seeing.
Amen.
I would never see what I'm seeing. And I'm not seeing near enough, so not seeing enough. But I'm seeing enough to know that it's the right track. Do you get it?
Yeah.
We just so much provoked you right now.
Oh, you know, Dan, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Our faith is in the Word of God. Not,
right.
And like the brother said, he says, God triumphs over our experience. Now the trap is that when we lean on human reason, we want to figure it out.
Right.
But and that's why to tie it back together, you know, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who's not offended in me." But many times we're offended. I was also raised as a Roman Catholic, and I would be offended when someone would speak against Roman Catholicism. But when I got into God's Word and come into revelation of who Jesus is, it's like the man who found the pearl of great price. He said, "Forget about everything else." There's not denominations in heaven. He said, sell everything that you have, give your whole heart, and seek that which is of great value. The revelation of who Jesus is. And in both instances, in this sister and in your experience with your wife, when you had the revelation, then the healing came.
Bingo.
And that's what it is.
I love that. Revelation. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. What you said was phenomenal.
It's the word of God.
To the body of Christ. We're trying to ask for an intellectual, rational, graspable reason why, etc. But faith comes by hearing. Here's what we don't realize. We're not trying this. When we ask all those questions, we're actually superseding the word. When the word is what brings faith, and actually all these questions create more confusion, more unbelief, and draw us farther from the revelation we're in desperate need of. And it's just a paradox thing, but it's because this thing has become high-minded. It has the ability to think apart from God. Right here. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. So the only way we can see, think, and live is by His Spirit. And His Spirit is Word.
Now, I didn't tell you how it ended. He spoke at the end of the last hours. He said, "I want to go home." So, I mean, I believe that he wanted to. And I think that...
Well, there comes a place where a man feels like he wants to.
I believe what you're saying.
But and then the part with his son and the church and the whole nine yards, here's what we rationally do. We say, wow, see, God chose this because he knew what he wanted to do. No, that's just God's goodness. He works all things together for the good. So that's just the nature of God. That doesn't determine the will of God. I see many people make the mistake of looking at the aftermath of something and say, well, see, God did this because of this. No, that's just God's profuse goodness. That's just God working all things together for the good. You know, Paul says we know in a couple places in the Bible. And my question is, do we really know? Mm-hmm. See, that's the real challenge. And it sounds like, you know, I'm really in your face with that challenge. But watch this. Let's be humble. If he said, do not worry and do not fear, and it's almost our first initial reaction, it just points that we need a desperate revelation of him. desperately, I mean, in our lives.
Amen. That's it.
We need that.
Revelation.
Because the gospel teaches you how not to fear.
Yeah, and one more scripture. It says, your traditions make the traditions of God of none effect.
The word of God of none effect.
So what happens is when we hold to tradition that we've been taught through missals in the church, through theologians, through something other than founded and based on the word of God, it said it makes the word of God of none effect. So if faith comes by the word, okay, that's why a lot of churches don't have power. He said he comes to fulfill his word with signs and wonders following. But when it's not the word that's being preached, if it's human reason, if it's something other than the word, well, what's there for him to fulfill? See what I'm saying? Yeah. So many times we become offended and say, wow, how could he say that against my religion? I don't care if it's Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, Presbyterianism. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus and his word and what he taught us. Anything outside of that. So now, you know,
us to carry this kingdom, don't ever forget, is his choice. So we're not claiming to have more power than God or more control than God. A lot of the church that doesn't understand, here's what we're preaching and thinks it's presumptuous. How can it be presumptuous when you get it from the word?
Yeah.
When he says, go, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom's here, what good does it do for me to sit down with an identity crisis and say, well, God, it's not a humble thing to say, well, I can't heal the sick. He already knows that, and he still tells me to go heal the sick.
Or if it's your will.
All that stuff. Here's what God's saying. Look, I created you in my image. I'm in you. I redeemed you through Christ. You're in me. We're one. When you touch, I touch. When you speak, I'm speaking. Now, would you go give somebody who I am? That's what God's saying. The key is, do we really know who he is in us? Or are we more self-conscious than Christ-conscious? Is our motives in prayer more self-centered, self-concerned? Are we praying because of... Say this brother had a serious need and he had a situation where there was no hope and I'm praying over him. Am I praying because I don't want to see him die? Am I just praying because I'm afraid of death? Am I just praying because I love him? Motives are powerfully important. Am I praying because I realize God's love for him and he put his own son on the cross so he could be a son and he's delivered and healed and set free because God loves this man?
Yes.
Or am I praying because he's an honorable man, a man of faith, he's built a lot of churches and he's helped a lot of people and you can't have him and da 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 da. And we call all that faith and we're missing the reason why he's even healed.
Yeah.
We're always healed because God loves us through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's it.
We bring all this other stuff into it and call it faith because it's not evil. It's just emotion, passion, and sincerity, but it's not the revelation of his love.
Amen.
So all of a sudden the principles. I just talked to a lady so set back because she turned the gospel into principles and methods, and she's praying almost like this. Praying and then, okay, let's see if this is real. Praying. Contesting God with their faith. Well, that can happen to a person that's not even trying to do that after a while when they lose a loved one. Because they start saying, I did this, I did that, and I said this, and I prayed and wouldn't let go, and I even fasted, and I did this. And all of a sudden, it's like this works thing. I did all this stuff. Where was God? And we didn't put our emphasis on the work he did and what he finished and his love for that person. It could be as simple as just holding him like this. Knowing God loves him and not even speaking. I saw cancer disappear in a lady one time. All I did was, I had my hands in my pocket. And I said, Jesus. It was just there. I stepped into that revelation place. I looked at her and they said, she's going to die. I was like, no, you're so bad. I'm just thinking all this. I'm seeing him at the right hand and I know his bloodshed and he's raised from the dead and I got all that in me and I just said, Jesus. I didn't say Jesus because it's synonymous to abracadabra and I'm trying to get a rabbit. I didn't say Jesus because I heard him pray in his name.
Amen.
I said, Jesus, because in my spirit and heart I saw he's King and Lord of the universe and he loves her and gave his own life so she can live. And in my mind it's like, what are you doing in her cancer? You're such a lie. Jesus. And the cancer just disappeared out of the body. Wonder if we can walk like that and live like that. But then I could turn right around and pray for a man with Parkinson's. And I pray my best prayer and he's still shaking. That messes with your head, doesn't it? Come on, be real with me. Let's talk straight here. Let's get answers. All of a sudden, wow, he's still shaking, man. You pray again. Next thing you know, you got two brothers. Come here, help me. You're all praying. We've all been through this if you pray for the sick. And we're living now by what we're feeling and seeing. And now the whole motivation of our prayer is the concern of what's not happening, waiting for something to happen. And now we're praying all the right stuff from all the wrong place. We call it faith, and it's actually unbelief.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm being real.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're driven. That's why Jesus said, blessed is the man who believes and has not seen. I sat on my bed one day and I said, God, I don't understand that, because Thomas got to believe. You said, feel me, touch me. You offered him the essential side of it just so he believed, because you want men to believe. Why is the man more blessed that believes and hasn't seen than the man that believes because he has seen? He said, because the man who believes and hasn't seen hasn't put himself through the hell of unbelief.
Wow.
All the feelings, yeah. Fear, and worry. When you're worried, when you're in fear, you're actually revealing. You have a less revelation of him, and you're actually in unbelief, not faith.
Amen. Man,
it's real. This is real.
Amen.
When my wife, see, I live this. My wife's on life support with brain damage, okay? You can't get around that. It's on the EEG. She's comatose. My wife. Okay? See the passion in me? I walk this stuff. I already told you about my mother, but this is my wife. I walked up to her. I could have said, God. I could have looked at them machines and saw her eyes bulging through her eyelids. And I could have took all that to heart. That's my girl. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, God, you got mercy. We do it all the time.
Yes.
But we know what to pray. We've been well taught.
Right.
But do we know what to believe? Do we live from a place where it's just okay because he's Lord?
Amen.
Where none of what we see determines what we believe.
Yes.
What we believe is he is Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You get it?
That's right.
And I was just graced to be in that place. I couldn't even cry. I couldn't even go, oh my God.
Right.
Because all I could see was she's my wife.
Yeah.
And the gospel's paid the price of what a lie. I was so at peace, I can't even explain it. I wasn't no ability to be afraid. I didn't turn and say, God, come on, this is my wife. Enough's enough. God, you got me all over the place preaching with all my heart. I'm seeing the miracles and the power. You can't let this happen. Why? God's not letting it happen. We're in a war. It's adversity.
Right.
It's spiritual. There's darkness trying to overtake. It's in your head. It's trying to get in your heart.
Right.
It's trying to hit close to home to contaminate your ability to see clear. Come on. This thing is real. I could have took that personal.
Yeah.
My wife could have stayed the same. Or died. Or by mercy, he could have cut her up. I don't know. But I know what I did. And I know how I felt. I spoke over her. I prayed my best prayer of faith. And it was enough. She just laid there and didn't move a muscle. The machines kept breathing and working for her. Her eyes were the same. I looked at my son and I said, it's all right, son. I'm going to take you home now.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
I told him, you have no permission. No permission when you go to school, go home, to be depressed. No permission, son. When he heard what happened to mom, he started crying in the kitchen. This is how I am. I said, stop that. Those tears, absolutely not. You say, oh, you need to lighten up. That's his mother. She's going to say, after them tears profit him nothing. I said, just stop that. We're not crying. We have a gospel.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord, son. You know that in your
heart.
Don't cry those tears.
Amen.
He said, yes, Dad.
Hallelujah.
He walked in the hospital when we prayed for Mom. An hour and a half later, Mama woke up.
Yes.
No brain damage. She's totally normal today. Now, my question is that coincidence? Was at the finished work of the faithfulness of God. Because it wasn't a plea for mercy. Mercy's a good, great, and wonderful thing. It was representing our authority. Do I have more control than God? Or was I using the authority that God gave me with faith? You get it? Very real. I can tell you a lot of stories, but that's a real one. That hit real close to home. Weigh my options in there. I could have reacted a lot of ways. True, be real. But a single lie. Your whole body's flooded with light. Not multiple choice and optional. Multifaceted view. We've got such a wide view lens. Come to We've integrated the way that seems right to man into the gospel. We've got a very muddy picture of truth. And that's a paradox, because truth's the only thing that makes you free. Not muddy truth. What you see makes you free.
Amen.
Get it?
Right.
It's just true.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Man, wait. She was pushing cartons. Charts or whatever in there, and like the Holy Ghost said, run down there. So I ran down there and I went up to her, asked her if she had something. I didn't have a word of knowledge. She just said that she had a bulging disc in her neck.
I had bulging discs in my neck and my hands and arm all the time.
Five bulging discs in her neck and her hands and arm all the time.
Woo! My arm was hurting so bad today. I couldn't really touch it. It's there for a while. It's
Now watch this. She had made the statement, and it's just neat how God just I guarantee you, because she made the statement that her mom passed away
February 9th.
A year ago. And her mom was a prayer warrior. And her mom prayed for her all the time.
Oh my God.
So mom prayed for her all the time.
Here you go.
Now watch.
It's amazing.
Did your mom ever pray for your discs to be healed? Did you ever pray for your body to be healed? Yeah, remember.
She always
mom's
prayed for a good husband, and he
right. But her mom's a prayer warrior, so her mom cares constantly, and that's true. But she's in tremendous pain, and she's down the hallway, and God takes every disc and makes them all whole.
Come
because of love.
Yeah.
And her hand.
This pain I've had for a few days right here on my. My wrist was killing me. I stamped charts all day. I'm going, I guess my balls. Not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
y'all.
Here?
7 years.
My daughter's
birthday.
Is it?
Well, I'm having a birthday party.
Awesome. How's your daughter's health?
I'm fine, I guess.
Is she completely good?
I think. She's only 19.
I know, but she doesn't get like any, she doesn't have headaches or anything like that. She gets migraines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just saying.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, watch. God will heal her right now. And for her birthday.
Okay.
He's just going to heal her right now. And she's not going to get an in her belly. It's like acid reflux.
Get it on.
Yeah. So it'll crush acid reflux and headaches right now. What's her name?
Aaliyah.
Father, we thank you for Aaliyah. Migraines, we curse you.
Thank you.
Acid reflux, I bind you and command you, let her go completely. Father, thank you for Aaliyah, God. Thank you for complete wholeness in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
It's done.
Thank you. Hey, this
feels
good.
Yay, God.
Amen.
You got it.
Just close the call. Done 30 seconds. Watch this. If he didn't emphatically believe what he believes about that in the face of law,
you're awesome, girl.
Unanswered, would he have the confidence to run down the hall and chase ladies? The reason a lot of us aren't running to chase people is because we're not sure what the world will happen.
Oh my God.
It's the evidence of our unbelief right there. Because if you have faith, you'll lay hands on the sick. So right there's the giveaway. We're not running out to lay hands on the sick. Reveals we're still unsettled in what we believe. Now that's not a slap in the face. That's just truth.
So here's an emphatic truth being preached out. It stirs up, opens the can, gets feelings flowing and questions flowing. But the bottom line reality is this. He believes what he believes to the point to chase her down the hall and God goes bang.
That's right.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? Come on, there's living proof right in the face of this whole big discussion. And I don't think he gave her $50 to come in and do that. I don't think anybody was thinking that either. You know
her? I mean, I don't know her well enough to know that she had her.
Please read that scripture.
Okay, I want to read this, and I want to talk just a couple scriptures, and I want to give an understanding, because if we don't settle in our heart that all disease and all sickness was put on Jesus when he was on the cross, when he was striped, and by his stripes we're healed, if God didn't do that, then we'll think that there's a way, because there's a way because of our intellect, because of our understanding, because of our reason, we have to have, and it's because of the fall of man, and we have this and we have that. But all sickness still comes from the same source. We have to have that settled. Because if we don't, then we'll think maybe God's taking them. And sickness is never God's will. Why would it please God to bruise the Son in order for us to bear it now? So because it doesn't feel good, we try to integrate that into intellect. We have to understand. We have to have a reason, man. By our rationale, we have to have a reason. We have to. But the Bible is so clear. In Acts 10:38 it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So all sickness, all depression, all oppression, all disease, if it doesn't exist in heaven, it's not supposed to exist here. So here's the deal. In Psalms 1:3, it says, bless the Lord, all my soul, bless the Lord, all that's within me, bless his holy name, forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of my iniquity and heals all of my diseases. So diseases are from hell. They're not from God. So if God says he heals them, if Jesus says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy,
And Jesus said, but I have come to give them life. We all know we're going to have an amazing life when we get to heaven. But he's not talking about when we get to heaven. Watch this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If Jesus was talking about life in heaven, he would actually be saying that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy in heaven. But he's not. He's saying that present tense, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy here. Present tense, Jesus has come. Has come where? Has come from heaven to here to give us life and life more abundantly. And that word abundantly means violently excessive. So watch, Jesus has come to give us life here and life more abundantly here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy here. So if I can put something that somebody's going through in the hand of death, loss, and destruction, it's from the devil. If I can put something in a perspective of he's come to give us life and life more abundantly here, now, it's from Jesus. So if I were to put a disease into life and life more abundantly, it wouldn't fit there. But if I were to put a disease into death, loss, and destruction, it's going to fall in that hand. If we don't pray from that perspective, we're praying the hope so prayer, but we know they're going to be okay. Either way, we win. Either way, we win. But you can't tell me that Jesus, having disease put on his body completely, all sickness and disease was crushed through the cross. We're enforcing that victory. So now when a loved one gets it, what happens is our mind gets scrambling, man. Because they're a man of faith or a woman of faith. I've had people in my own life go through this, man. I go through this daily, every day, all the time. It's not something where I just like preach this gospel because I may have lost one person. No way, man. I've lost battles. I haven't seen everybody healed. But I know that if I settle for anything less than the abundant life and the true life that Jesus came to bring me, I will settle for less than that, and I won't be armed for battle the way I need to be. So when a bad situation comes up, if I allow an experience from my past that didn't work out the way the gospel says, to even integrate in a little bit and say, well, God took them because he needed them. Now all of a sudden I have a reason why they're not going to get healed. Maybe it's God's time to take them. But if I settle in my heart that that right there is death, loss, and destruction, and Jesus was anointed by God, and he healed all that were oppressed by the devil, and this is straight up fingerprints from hell, and it's got to go. Amen. If I live from that perspective and stay aggressive on that standpoint, I will have way much more victory. But if I live from a perspective and say, well, they're going to be healed when they get to heaven, I will not fight the battle of faith the way that I need to. Because we're all going to be good when we get to heaven. None of this is going to matter. When we get to heaven, because when we get to heaven, we're not praying for nobody. We're there. We have a short time period to destroy hell. And the fingerprint of hell. So if you settle in your heart that all disease and sickness are from the devil, that all stealing, loss, destruction. Look, one person dies. They're a great man of faith. Like, we'll use that example, okay? There's a lot of people in the family that, regardless of not, it put a ripple in their heart, man, because he was a great man. A great man, an integral man, an amazing man. So we say, well, you're saying there must be sin in this life. Wrong. I'm telling you this, that if I were the enemy, and I were to choose who to afflict with sickness, disease, would I choose somebody that didn't really matter to many? Or would I choose somebody that the ripple effect would destroy much more lives?
Yes.
That's the mindset of the enemy. He's corrupted. Right. He's twisted. So what he wants to do is he wants to integrate himself into this gospel, make it a yes and maybe so. Not a yes and no. It's either yes and no. Because when you marry yes and no together, you get the maybe so gospel, and it's not maybe so. Jesus said absolutely 100%. So what happens now is we get this perspective twist. And if we allow someone dying at 64 or 65 years old from cancer, which is from hell, it's not from God. It's from hell. Jesus healed all who were oppressed by the devil. So all oppression comes from the devil, period. Doesn't matter how much we know. The Bible's still true. It doesn't matter that we're a doctor and we realize that this gene and this gene causes this, and then all of a sudden the molecular, this, that, who, whatever. That's why this isn't a philosophical word. That's why it's not like empty deceit. That's why it's not something that is like taught by man. This is Jesus Christ, man. This is his word. He said all oppression comes from the devil.
In Psalms 103, he says he heals all my diseases. Yes. Now. Amen. He didn't say heals all my diseases. He didn't bruise and stripe and crush his son. God wasn't crying in heaven when Jesus was bruised. It says it pleased God to bruise the son. It pleased him. Because by doing that, he knew that we wouldn't have to have it now. But he's made us enforcers. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he did give to the children of men. He gave us and made us stewards over the earth. He made us stewards of the earth. He made us stewards of God's grace. He made us stewards of the favor of God. So if we don't realize what we have and who we are, we perish for lack of what we don't know. And I refuse to have it happen on my watch. And if you settle in your heart that all disease and all sickness is from the devil, you will pray from the perspective of if it doesn't exist in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. And Jesus said, pray that God's kingdom comes. Pray that his will be done on this earth the same as it is in heaven. If it doesn't exist in heaven, it's not supposed to exist here. That's God's will every time. We know cancer's not in heaven. So just to have that one promise, that one perspective, and pray from that should tell you that it's never from God.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've heard it preached. You just said something. I've heard it preached that God, it broke God's heart.
Right.
He cried.
Isn't it in Isaiah 53?
Yeah.
That Jesus was bruised.
Well, watch this. It's the Gospels. In Isaiah 53... Verse 10.
Haven't you heard that preached?
It says, yet it pleased God to crush him, to bruise him. He has put him to grief. You make his soul an offering for sin. Why? Because he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many. God, it pleased God to do what he did to the son, because by doing it, it's going to justify many. It pleased God to do it to the son, because he shall know his righteousness. It pleased God to do it to his son, because the labor of Jesus' mind, will, and emotions going through what he went through, it pleased God to do it knowing that he's going to receive the labor of his soul. This is huge, man. And our minds get so wrecked by this stuff. It just does. You know, I have a daughter. She's 2.5. Her name's Zoe. All she knows is that God heals. All she knows is me pray. All she knows is Jesus. When she sees the other day, we were watching a movie called Fireproof. Did you ever see it? It's good. Well, you know how the husband and wife were fighting on that? They were like arguing and stuff. Zoe's like, because she doesn't see that. We're watching and she goes, she looks at me and I said, they need Jesus, Zoe. She goes, need Jesus. So they did it a little bit later in the movie, and my little daughter looked at me, need Jesus, Dad. Now watch. That's all she knows. All she knows is Daddy prays for people when we go to Walmart. Me pray? Allie gone. This is all she's learning. It's culture. We weren't all grown up with that. We didn't all have that. She will live and will have kingdom culture all her life. Why? Because I'm not backing off of this thing, man. I'm going after this thing with everything I am. And that's all my daughter's going to see. Why? Because I'm going to pour into her everything that I am. Because my heart is to have my kids carry this thing further than I could ever do it. My heart is to raise up sons and daughters in this world that can carry this thing where my ceiling becomes their floor, where they step right in and take it further than we could ever do it. That's what it's all about. It's all about living from victory, but living towards from history, allowing what people established in the past and carrying it further than they could, allowing people that you pour into to grab a revelation and take it further and multiply that seed in the midst of everything.
Man.
To make destructive warriors and kingdom just kingdom advancers, man. This thing's all about that. Settle in your heart, man. Let that scripture of Acts 10:38, Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil, and realize that all oppression comes from there. If you live from that right there, your perspective, your single eye will change, and you'll say, this is not God, it's got to go. Every time, this is not God, it's got to go. This is not God, it's got to go. God loves you. It wouldn't have pleased God to bruise the son in order for you to carry it now. Go!
go in Jesus' name. Every time, praying from that perspective and being diligent and being a warrior and not letting past examples and experiences in your life set you back, so that when you pray for the next person, you're thinking of the one you lost. Don't allow that to happen, man. Don't allow your past to determine your future. Don't allow the past rubble of yesterday, because honestly, tomorrow's victory is built on the rubble of yesterday. But if you allow the rubble to continue into your life, you'll pray from a hope so, maybe so. He didn't heal him. Why would he heal them? And you're praying a hope so prayer, doing the Christian thing to do, but never expecting the victory because you lost that last one. But you really didn't, because there's no final victories in hell.
Amen.
It's really good. Amen. Really makes sense. It'll really work. Jesus just works, man. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Works,
amen? Amen. I'm done. Bless you. Yay, God. Yay. I don't know what the plans are. Melissa, you're...